The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Welcome to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Discover hope and healing from the other side. Welcome to Messages of Hope with Suzanne Giesman.
Listen, they're all around you, close as a thought or a memory.
Messages of Hope. Messages of Hope.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. We are going to be talking to a shining light mom today. More about that in a minute. But first, if you're watching live, I hope you can also join me this evening at 5:30 Pacific time, 8:30 Eastern time for an online event with a gentleman who's been a guest on this show in the past, and I've been on his show, Michael Sandler. We did a great interview about Wolf's Message for Humanity. Very rousing, inspiring interview, and that's going to be aired tonight on Michael's YouTube channel. And he and I will both be online chatting with everybody who's present live tonight. You can find the link for that on my Facebook page. So over to real time here and now. My guest today is Roseanne Norris, and I met Roseanne when I did a reading for her last August. She is a shining light mom, which is the name that we give to those who have a child across the veil. Far more positive and descriptive name for our lives moving forward with our kids across the other side than to say a bereaved parent. But Roseanne certainly has been down that path as well. Our goal today is to help all of you who are going through grief to know you are not alone in your grief, and there is absolutely hope, as Roseanne is about to show us. Welcome to the show, Roseanne.
Thank you, Suzanne. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me. I felt a little like I was going on Oprah today.
That's funny.
I
sound a little bit stilted at the beginning because Roseanne and I got so caught up in talking about the reading that I did for her that all of a sudden Jeff, our engineer, is interrupting me saying, "You have 2 seconds." So I was usually I'm a little more prepared, but I just so love catching up with you, Roseanne. So you have a wonderful book called Believe, and I would love for you to just start off by describing to those who don't have it in front of them the way the title is designed on the book, Believe, and why it is so.
Well, the title is spelled BELEEVE because of my son's name, which was Lee, is Lee. So I played around with different titles, and then that name came to me in meditation one day, and that was it. So.
And I love the way you got the title for the book. And at first you thought it was going to be one thing or another, and then there it came in meditation. And I know that meditation was not part of your journey before Lee passed, correct?
Well, I did some meditation and yoga. And, you know, laying there after a workout of yoga, you know, I knew how to relax, but not in the way, you know, after Lee passed.
Yeah. So we're going to dive into the changes after he passed and how that has taken you on what the subtitle says, A Journey of Loss, Healing, and Hope. And that's what we hope to give to all of you listening today. So let's just start back at where the book begins, Roseanne, and tell us about Lee.
Well, Lee was my middle child, the third of five, and he was a little different than all the rest. He was very sensitive baby, a sensitive boy. He's the only one of my children that carried around a little stuffed toy. None of the others had a security item.
Could I interrupt a second here, and I have to tell you, it absolutely amazed me. If you would share with everyone how he broke the weight records at the hospital where he was born, and then how he actually grew and how he turned out.
Well, Yeah, that was a bit of a surprise. He was different, like I said, and he came in weighing 11 pounds, 3 ounces. So,
wow.
And he was 23 inches long. So he was a big bruiser. And yeah, so that was definitely a surprise.
But then you said he was a small child growing up, which surprised me.
He was. He really didn't grow until his senior year in high school. And he ended up being, you know, not overly tall, but maybe 5'10", you know.
Yeah.
So, but he was a slow grower. So.
But this extra sensitivity really fascinates me too. I love that.
Yeah, I used to sing, you know, songs to them at night, and he would cry. And I said, "Why are you crying?" And he just said, "You know, it makes me sad. You know, like, you are my sunshine. How can I make you sad?" But, you know, just different songs he would, you know, sing to your kids at bedtime. And so he was a sweetheart.
Okay. So let's fast forward to the root of this story of here, of how your life just suddenly changed. And I know it's painful to talk about always, but we do it knowing that other people will then identify with you, those who are also shining light parents or suffering the passing of anyone they love. If you share that with us, we'll then dive into that.
Yes. Well, it was a bitter cold January in New York in 2018. And it was a Tuesday, and I got a call from my husband saying that Lee's boss, they worked at the same place, and said Lee's boss had called, and Lee hadn't shown up for work that day or the day before. And as soon as my husband told me that, I knew. I just knew instinctively. My, you know, everything in me just said, he's gone. And so we arrived at his house. It was January 9th, and found him on his couch. We had no idea what happened until the authorities started coming, the firemen, and suddenly they told us we had to leave immediately. And we found out it was carbon monoxide poisoning.
30 years old.
Yep. 30 years old. He owned his own house. He had a coal furnace, and that day he had neglected to close the door properly. And he, for some reason, he had, well, probably it was going off. He removed his detector off the wall and put it in the closet. So kind of a perfect storm.
Well, this is a good chance just to ask anybody, if you've done such a thing, to get it out of the closet, to check your batteries, and to make sure that you're safeguarded. So we'll use this as an opportunity to help.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm pretty sure we know that he had passed a couple days before we found him because of text trails and things like that. So, yes. So that was the start of it.
Yes. Now, your book is written in journal style. So it's a very raw, emotional, and real read. Yet it's not too painful because it's the ups and downs, and you know that there's more coming. So I like the way you did that, but it certainly shows what that first year was like for you. Would you take us through a bit of that, please?
Yes, it didn't start as a journal. I started it as a chapter book, actually, and it really came to me again later in meditation, and I changed the whole thing. I got the message to write it as I wrote it, because I wrote 12 journals in the first 2 years. And yes, that first year, I was, you know, I just let my emotions out on paper.
Let's stop there for a second. Is that a habit you were in already?
Now and then, over my lifetime, I have journaled. You know, I was an English person, an English major, so I always liked to write. So, but that was always my way of dealing with pain or stress. Whenever anything was wrong in my life, I would write.
And I love that, because so many of the grief experts that have been on this show recommend using journaling as a healing tool. And one can see when reading your book and others like it, how it just allows you to get those feelings out that you might not share with others and to just vent all over the paper. And you've done it in a very legible style that's very helpful.
Yeah, that was another reason. I knew myself I couldn't read, take in a lot of words. I was reading a lot, but what stuck in my mind, very little, you know. And so I tried to keep it out of my journal. I took it out of my journal and kept it as simple as I could for parents that are newly grieving so they could comprehend just little bits at a time.
Mm-hmm. So. What struck me, though, is how well you describe the despair after his passing. And it's something that nobody would ever want to go through. How about just trying to encapsulate that so that those who are listening who may be there right now know they're not alone?
Well, I couldn't comprehend the pain. I couldn't, you know, it was just beyond anything I had ever experienced. And anybody that's going through it knows it's all consuming. It's your body, mind, everything about you is just consumed with pain. And I literally wanted to die. I thought, I can't carry this with me. I can't do this. But something kept, like this little tiny spark in there kept, I just kind of knew somehow I was going to get on the other side of that immense pain that was in the beginning.
Looking back, so, what do you ascribe that spark to?
It must have just been a knowing inside. I can't put my finger on anything specific, except I knew that I wanted to honor him, that I wouldn't. I was going to do something in his honor, and even if it was just to live.
And I would say, Roseanne, that it's the spark of the divine that just always gives you that thread to hold on that never goes out and that connects you to Lee and to Source and to all of your helpers across the veil. All of you, we all have that spark, so that's beautiful. What happened to let you know that Lee was still around you, which, of course, is the basis of the hope that comes through in your book?
Well, the first connection I had with him was a few weeks after his transition, and I was in his house, and I opened a box in his basement, and the first thing I pull out is a CD of the band Offspring, which he loved in high school. And so I pull that out and I touch it, I hear, "I'm okay, I'm fine." And I'm thinking, huh? You know, like, so that was about three weeks after. I didn't really, you know, I kind of dismissed it and I thought, well,
yeah, so many
this?
Do.
I'm just but it started coming, you know, more and more little thoughts in my head that I gradually learned to accept that this was true communication.
And that was just the start. Yeah, your book is just so filled with signs and communications, and we'll get into that. But, you know, you let it be known in the book that there were some premonitions before he passed. Would you share those with us, please?
Yes. I have to go back to when I was pregnant with Lee, and it was about a week before he was born. He was born on Labor Day also in 1987.
That's fitting.
Yes, it was. And I was in the shower, and this sense of dread just came over me, and I started to cry, and I thought, I don't want to do this. And, you know, I thought, what's wrong with you? It's not the first child you've birthed, and all my babies were big, 9-pounders. So it wasn't like I was, you know, I just didn't understand it. But I let it go. And I look back now and I think my soul knew, you know, I knew I wasn't going to have him for a long time. And then fast forward to maybe a couple months before he passed, I woke up. I had a dream where I literally saw him in a casket, laying out in his casket. And I, when I woke up, I was crying and I thought, what is wrong with you? Why would you have this awful dream? And I never told anyone.
You know, let's talk about that for a second, because I had a similar dream with someone that I love. And many people have these, and I have to say that sometimes those are just our own fears. When we love someone so intensely, we're afraid that, oh no, you know, what happens if they pass, and that comes to pass in our dreams. So it doesn't always mean it, but really we can't change those kinds of things unless there's further information. If it is your time, it is your time. And so you say it yourself at the end of the book, that it helps us to remember to make every moment precious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. So, yeah, those premonitions or, you know, I've had other premonitions, but none quite like I had with Lee, but, you know.
And that's likely why when you got that call that he hadn't shown up for work, you just jumped straight to he's gone instead of has something happened? Is he sick? That really was stunning.
Yeah. I definitely knew.
Well, let's talk some more now about some of the signs you received from him, because this is, it's a little low key here, low energy, of course. This is a very, very challenging topic, but it's the signs that have come through for him that have completely transformed you, and the readings you've had with mediums, which we'll talk about, but you know he's still with you now. So how did that begin, that knowing?
Well, just all those, well, it started with the little things like the butterflies. You know, when a butterfly landed, when we were up at the cemetery and my daughter came and she broke down and she had his car and this butterfly landed on the hood of the car. And I pointed it out and she's kind of like, yeah, so, but then it's a butterfly, you know, but then it took off and it landed right in front of her, like a couple feet in front of her. It just was fluttering its wings up and down. Another time my son.
Well, I want to stop just a second there we could, Roseanne, for those who are new to signs, you know, exactly like your daughter said, yeah, it's just a butterfly. But look at the timing. It's when you're at the ceremony, when you're breaking down and people are extremely sad. That's when our loved ones take advantage of, ooh, there's a butterfly over there. Across the veil, they say, all right, I'm going to merge my consciousness with that butterfly and we're going to make it go over and land right on her car. Ooh, she noticed, but she doesn't quite believe. So now I'm going to go land in front of her and really flap my wings and get her attention, butterfly flap its wings. So that's how the signs work. When we really honor that, we give credit to those across the veil who are really working hard to let us know, I'm really here. Trust this.
Yeah. Yes. Another cool butterfly moment was when, after my granddaughter's soccer game, we're all standing around and my oldest son, a butterfly suddenly landed on his shoulder. Ooh. And it was there and then it took off and it circled around the whole family, like must have 10 times at least.
Oh my.
Just circling around and around and then landed back on my son again.
Nice.
And that
good
was,
job, Lee.
It was amazing. I was getting things like that and some, you know, heart signs at appropriate moments when I would ask for them. Another crazy butterfly thing was when one day I took my car in. Well, I asked Lee for a butterfly sign and I thought it was winter. And I thought, what am I having? I'm not there's no butterflies in New York in the winter. Uh-huh. And I had taken my car in for an oil change or something. And I'm getting a cup of coffee and I look over at the TV and there's a butterfly.
Okay.
And the next thing,
that's
TV
beautiful.
Was full of butterflies.
And again, to educate those of you who are new to signs, who put the thought in Roseanne's head to ask for the butterfly sign, knowing that she was going to see it at the dealership? And who, like, look up now, Mom, it's on the TV. That's the web. That's how we're connected. And they just do such a great job. If only we know to be aware and listen and watch and acknowledge.
Yeah. And the hearts that I've asked for, and just at the right moment. And he, 34 was his football number when he was a little boy, and the whole family sees 34s all over the place. I could just turn and look at the clock and it's 10:34, or
nice.
Just turn and see a mailbox and it's 34.
And I believe, again, that that's not just a coincidence that you saw it. It's a nudge from your loved one. Look up now. Turn to the right and look there. They snag your attention. So he does a good job. So you have on the cover of your book that proceeds from every paperback sold goes to Helping Parents Heal. That's an organization that comes up frequently in the book. Please tell us how you found them and how it compared to any other experiences you'd had before that, without naming names.
Yes. Well, I had had a grief counselor for 4 months, and he was wonderful. He was open for me to talk about communications and afterlife. But he passed at the 4 month mark. And so I was at a loss. I thought, I was in a dark place again. And then I started looking around. I did try a couple organizations that just, did not sit right with me. And I started looking on Facebook because I thought, well, that's got everything on Facebook and social media. Mm-hmm. And I did try a couple groups and that didn't feel right. And then I found, which I know now, that I was led to Helping Parents Heal. And that immediately felt right to me.
Why?
Because of their open concept of afterlife or the hereafter and communications with our kids. And they were so uplifting. Elizabeth and Irene and all the people that, really, I felt, I say, paved the way for me and others to become those shining light parents. So,
she's referring to Elizabeth Boisson, the co-founder with Mark Ireland of Helping Parents Heal, and Irene Bouvalides is the vice president. And everybody, of course, involved with that group has had a child pass and knows the journey. And what you mentioned there is the hallmark of the group. It's how you become uplifted by these meetings. And I've talked to many a parent who at first is almost insulted by that. How can you be smiling when we're here to talk about our children who have passed? Would you address that, please?
Well, my counselor said, you get up or give up. And I just, to know that your child, yes, would I give anything to have him with me? Of course, but I know that his life continues, like our lives will continue. And to have that knowledge, to have that is really a gift that I strive for in the, this is the work I do for myself and
right. I mean, that pain at the beginning is so bad. Nobody can even imagine living like that for the rest of your life. And yet some people do when they have lost all hope. But you found it. And we're going to talk in the second half of the show here about ways that you found it. We're going to talk about the mediums who have helped you. But you say that you know now that you were led to Helping Parents Heal. How do you know that?
It's just a gut feeling. It's another path Lee led me down, and he wanted me to heal, and I wanted to heal for him and for myself. And so I believe with all my heart he led me there, and Source led me there, or God and my guides and
all of the above.
Yes, all the team.
And what I love, if we just jump forward, is you start your book in this utter despair. How am I going to even get up? I don't want to get out of bed, and just what so many people go through. And you found Helping Parents Heal. Would you tell people your affiliation with it now?
Yes, I am an affiliate leader in Binghamton. So I have a group, Binghamton, New York, where I live, and I do have a group that I just got off the ground before COVID hit. So that, you know, we'll get back face to face. I know that everybody misses that. I just became just recently I became a caring listener. So taking on a new role.
That's just awesome. So from utter despair to now leading others. And that's the whole path of shining light. At first, your child is your shining light, and then you get out of bed for them and for your other children who are still here, and your husband. And then now you heal bit by bit. We'll talk about that when we come back. And now you're a shining light for those others who are new on the path, even leading an affiliate group in your area, which is just awesome. Just think how that makes Lee feel. So wow, fast first half. We're going to go to a break now and come back for more, so don't go away.
Discover the power within. Unity Online Radio. The voice of an awakening world.
Welcome back. You're listening to Messages of Hope with Suzanne Giesemann.
All right. We're having a very touching and helpful conversation with Roseanne Norris, a shining light mom whose son Lee passed from carbon monoxide poisoning at age 30. And she is the author of the book Believe, A Journey of Loss, Healing, and Hope. And a quote from that book says, from Roseanne, healing is a conscious choice. It's hard work, but it can be done. And you're proof of that when you read the book and see the journey you've been on. And truly, it's a spiritual journey. So we will get into that. But one of the things that fascinated me the most, and of course is so validating, is that you started going to mediums, and you've been to quite a few of them. And it very much shows how healing that can be. In fact, a medium wrote the foreword to your book. So why don't we talk about mediumship for a while and how that helped your healing journey?
Okay. Yes. I've been, like you said, to several mediums, and so wonderfully validating, healing. I mean, the one Anne Van Oordstel, who wrote the foreword to my book, like I said, she had named my book. Well, she told me first that I was going to write a book, and that it was going to be called Believe or Belief or Beyond Belief, something along those lines, and mm-hmm. that Lee wanted it by his first anniversary. Now, this was November of 2018, so I was only coming up on the first anniversary, and I thought, no way, nope. Is that going to
no
happen?
No way, that's not happening.
That's just not going to happen. So, but in fact, it didn't happen until COVID. I mean, I struggled with it for a long time. And then once we got locked down, I dove in. That's when it turned to the journal form, and I dove right in. So it didn't happen then, but, you know, I know that's okay. It happened when it was supposed to, but.
Oh, sure. Was Anne the first medium you saw?
No, she wasn't the first. And there was a couple more before that, and she stands out because she did tell me about the book and wrote the foreword, and she also Lee showed her an F, and she said it was a German spirit guide that was going to come in to work with me on the book. That it was a long name, but I would shorten it, which I did. It came to me, and I called my German writing guide is Fritz, which is also now the name of my miniature schnauzer in honor of my writing guide. So, which I had an experience. Oh, go ahead.
No, well, what I love about the book is that you list a lot of the evidence that's come through from these mediums, and that's what I'm always looking for, the hardcore things that nobody else would know about Lee. And that to me is the linchpin for healing, is that it's lovely to get messages, but when you blend it with the evidence, are there any gold nuggets that stand out in the many readings you've had?
Well, I had a reading with you last.
Well, that's not what I'm getting at. We can get to that later.
Oh, no. Well, okay.
Some from the book. My reading with Roseanne was actually after the book came out, and so we can talk about that later. But some of the things in the book that'll help people.
I know that. Well, Anne said Anna, my youngest daughter, had Lee's car, and Anne Van Ursel said that there was something, Lee told her there was something in the right in the middle of the car that was there. And so when I asked my daughter, she said Lee apparently had dropped the French fry. There was a French fry in there, and she didn't take it out. So that was kind of, that was interesting.
I like how Isabella Johnson talked about the word suffrage, and you'd actually dressed as a suffragette and marched in a parade not that long ago. That was very cool.
Yes, that was something. I think Jake Samoydney too had mentioned me dressing up as a suffragette. So,
and that is very unusual. Yeah,
no one could know. No one could know that.
And what was the current event then in the reading I did for you? I love when they talk about current events, things that have done since you passed or very recent. And he brought up, well, you want to share it?
Well, are we talking now about the cannonball?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was a memory that popped up on Facebook. I had done a cannonball into a lake. Oh, actually, I would do one every year when we would go to this certain lake and stay for the weekend, and the memory popped up, the memory had just popped up a couple days before that, and you brought it up. And
well, Lee brought it up. I'm just the messenger. Well,
true. But I think when you said when it did his arms like in a, like score, when we put that together. So,
yeah.
And then another one was the waterfall. Lee was in Vegas in 2017, and his buddy was in one of the waterfalls at a hotel, and he was told them to jump, because the security is coming. And that was something, you could not have known. They actually got kicked out of the hotel as a result, but...
Oh my. Yeah. Shenanigans. Well, one thing we haven't talked about, Roseanne, is how his dog Buddy was in the house with him and also succumbed as a result of this carbon monoxide poisoning. But yet Buddy was still just barely hanging on when you arrived there, and a medium brought that up.
Yes. Buddy, as I said, Lee, we figured passed on the 7th, and he was there for 2 days before we found him. And we heard a little whimpering and found Buddy in the corner of the room. Yes, barely alive, but I believe he passed a day later, but I believe I was told that he stood watch over Lee until until we arrived and found him.
I just love that the whoever the medium was, and I don't recall now, but saw the dog across the veil and received the message that he had stood watch. It's just beautiful.
Yeah.
So your dog Fritz now, is there, somebody tells me I'm supposed to ask you that Fritz came into your life in a special way. Speaking of dogs.
Yes, he sure did. I realized now in the fall of 2019, I had an experience. I was just going to sleep and I felt a depression behind me on the bed. And I thought my husband was getting it in on the wrong side of the bed, but then I felt like depression, like something was walking all over the bed, and I couldn't figure it out. I was a little scared at first, and I have a bird, and I thought, could it be? But no, the bird's in the cage, you know, and covered. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I was running through my mind, what could it be? And then all of a sudden, I thought, Ruby. Ruby was our family dog we had to put down in 2011. So I thought, well, that was really a cool visit. Fast forward to, I believe now that our dog now, Fritz, is that Ruby has reincarnated. And the reason I believe that, in January 2020, I was in meditation and I saw this schnauzer. Now, I typically don't see things like that, but it just popped up in my awareness. And when I went out and I said to my husband, I was like, the weirdest thing happened. And I told him, I said, I just saw a little schnauzer in my meditation. And the funny thing, he goes, well, it's funny because the day before he had been researching dogs, thinking he might surprise me for my birthday. Huh. And he was really taken with the schnauzers.
No kidding.
So I was like, well, that's weird, but we know kind of we're connected, you know? So I'm thinking, all right, well, you put that thought in my head, apparently. Well, I started researching. I just was looking up on Googling schnauzers, and I noticed there was a local breeder. And so, of course, I go on the site, and I was drawn to this one little puppy's face over and over again. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize at first, but then when it finally dawned on me, I noticed this little puppy was available on the daily past.
I'm telling you, the whole time you're telling me the story, I have had three lip twitches, and it's Lee saying, come on, mom, come on, mom. Put it together.
So I knew that, the puppy was ours. I couldn't deny him. And I believe now that Ruby has reincarnated and so come back to help us.
That's beautiful. And no doubt brought to you with Lee's help too, across the veil. Love it. Yeah. So what kind of communication did you have from the beginning with Lee? Not just signs, but I'm talking about these thoughts. How has it changed in the time since he passed?
A lot of the telepathic, you know, things just dropping in my head. I can ask him questions and you know, a lot of times things will just drop into my head, and you don't, you know, at first you don't trust it, but then at a certain point I grew to trust what I was receiving. And
that is so important.
I just published
my personal mediumship class about connecting with our own loved ones. And it's one of the biggest questions that comes up. How do you trust? And you model this beautifully. Our loved ones aren't going to give up on us. They're going to keep putting things in our head. And you finally just say, well, let me trust this. And then it opens up even more.
Yes. Yes. And there was a lot of downloads too, while I was writing the book. I was waking up in the night with full, complete thoughts, which was like, how could that be? And I would write it down because I thought I would never remember in the morning. So, he was busy putting there for the book. And I've been working also for the past year with a pendulum, communicating with him, which again, I didn't really trust that at first. I thought, you know, am I making this move? But I just decided just to let that go.
We don't talk about that a whole lot. We haven't brought it up, I don't think, ever on the show. Maybe, well, not that I can remember. So why don't you tell us how that works for you? I'll just preface it by saying that the pendulum is a beautiful tool because it mirrors what is going on in your subconscious and coming down from the soul, what the soul knows. So one holds a pendulum between the forefinger and the thumb, and gently, and you can ask questions and the messages will come through in the direction that it swings once you identify what each direction means. So how do you use it when you communicate with Lee?
I just a simple yes or no questions. I, like you said, I established my yes and my no. Yes was, you know, back and forth, vertically. No was, you know, across that. And
so if I could just interrupt a second, for anybody that thinks this is crazy, I at first was very skeptical of this. And so I did an experiment where I put four glasses on the counter. Three of them had water and one had a clear alcohol. I don't know if it was gin or vodka. This was years and years ago. And then I mixed them all up with my eyes closed. So I didn't know which one had the alcohol in it. And I put the pendulum over each one. Is this the gin? Is this the gin? And more times, many more times than not, it was the gin. And of course, I had to smell it or sip it. I couldn't do that too many times or I would have gotten a little loopy, right? But there's a part of us that does know what's going on at a level that we don't know here. So the pendulum is a valid way. So he would give you, would you tune into him first and say, Lee, we're going to play with the pendulum? Or just how did that work for you?
Yeah, I would ask him to come in and then I would say, you know, is this you? Are you here with me? And I would get, you know, always get the yes. And I had, you know, the yes, no, I don't know. And recently I said, can you show me I love you? And the pendulum was first for I don't know goes counterclockwise. And then I said, can you show me I love you? And it swung clockwise and it kept going larger and larger. It was swinging so wildly. I thought, how can I doubt this? I couldn't, you know, so.
Yes, it's very clear that one is not moving it, that you haven't changed how tightly you're gripping. It's a very cool phenomenon. For those of you who aren't familiar with it, they will sell pendulums, of course, online or in a metaphysical bookstore, but you can make your own just by putting a ring on a chain from a necklace and just hold it that way. Yeah,
right.
Very cool.
Right.
So what I found really wonderful in your book is the communications with Lee about his adventures across the veil, literally adventures. The very first one came in when he talked about antelopes and a place he was visiting. Would you tell us about that, how you validated it and how it grew from there?
Yeah, I just one morning, because he kept saying, I kept hearing, I'm having the time of my life. I'm having the time of my life. So I thought, well, what are you doing? You know, and so I started asking. And yes, the first time I asked, I was waking up and I said, what are you doing today? And I heard Tanzania riding the antelopes. And I thought, okay, where's Tanzania? I know I've heard of it. And is there antelope? You know, so I had to look at that. And then it just kept going. And I call it the adventure game.
Well, if you could stop for a second, you first of all had to look up, are there antelopes in Tanzania? And indeed there were. And who hears those things, right? Where did that come from?
Right.
So you honored that. And then did you ask, then it would just keep popping up?
Then, yeah, I would start it every morning as I'm waking up. And I was like, you know, what's today's adventure? And so different things. I got the White House one time.
He's visiting the White House. Funny.
And he goes, and I, you know, doesn't have to worry about security. and just different crazy things, Antarctica. I mean, all these different places, just different things. And it would just, I didn't think about it. It would just pop in my head immediately as soon as I'd ask the question. So I know my mind doesn't work that swiftly. So I know he's putting it there.
I love how that gave you a new way of moving forward with him in your life, of relating to him real time.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. You say in the book that, you know, they say we should not live in the past, yet there's a fine line you walk between going to memories and enjoying them and then wallowing in them.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. I had a story I wanted to share about a little synchronicity that I had. Well, little. I went to visit my cousin in June of 2019. Yeah, she lives in New Orleans. And I had to, I was in Detroit making my connecting flight. And they were announcing, they were trying to get somebody, bump somebody, you know, they were kept giving incentives to take a bump. And I almost did it because I didn't have to be there any set time. And then I thought, well, no, I'm not going to do it. They were offering like $800.
Wow.
And I thought, well, yeah, it just kept going up and up and up. And I thought, well, maybe somebody needs it more than I do. I'll just not do it. So when I got on the plane, a woman sat next to me and started up a conversation. And she said she was from Fort Wayne, Indiana, going to New Orleans for a convention for work. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, my husband's been to Fort Wayne for business. And she said, where does he work? And I said, BAE Systems. And she said, well, that's where I work.
Oh,
and
my
then
gosh.
I found out, I found out that she had been to Binghamton, where his plant is. And I said, oh, wow, that's cool. And so she said, what do you do for BAE? And she said, I work in contracts. And suddenly I knew that she knew Lee. That's what he did for the business.
No.
And I said, yes. And I said to her, my son worked in contracts for BAE. And she said, what's his name? And when I said his name, her face fell, just completely fell. And she said, I am so sorry. And she knew, turns out she knew Lee quite well. He had been
Who
out
Who else
there.
Has goosebumps right now? I'm covered with them. What are the chances?
I have goosebumps. I still get them thinking about that story. Amazing. And we just talked the whole time about Lee and just about, you know, signs and synchronicities and afterlife. And, you know, we're now connected. We're now connected. So
that's so cool, because a lot of times people, when they hear you've had a child pass or anybody close to you pass, they just shut down, like maybe it's too painful to talk about. But when most of the time, we want to talk about our loved ones. That's what we love.
Yes, definitely. I have, there was another connection, and this came up several mediums, I believe. Going back to June of 2018, I went to Florida with my sister, and my husband had an experience. He heard something, he was sitting outside, heard something rattle in the garage, and he got up and he went in. And now he's pretty left brain person. He's come a long way, but he actually went in the garage and said, Lee, is that you? And he felt something. Oh. He felt a cold whoosh go through him. And he was just standing there waiting for more. And then he was looking around and he saw something red up in the rafters of the garage that he had never seen before. And he pulled a ladder over, he climbed up, and he pulled down this little Hot Wheels car, turned it over, and it was made in 1987, the year of Lee's birth. Hmm. What he did not know at that time is I had had a reading where I was told that Lee was playing Hot Wheels with kids in the afterlife.
No kidding.
I had never told Tom that story. So he didn't know that. And Lee loved kids. Lee was always under a pile of nieces and nephews wrestling, playing. And so I wasn't surprised he was playing Hot Wheels. Of course he was. So, but then when I returned home and Tom told me this story, and I thought, wow, that's you know, that was really cool. And then right after, soon after that, I had my first Reiki healing ever. And Lee came in, dropped in, and the woman doing it said at the end, she said, "Now I'm seeing a 12, a 1 or a 2 or a 12. Well, it didn't make any, you know, it didn't mean anything to me except he did pass in January. She said, "We'll take it with you." And so I did. And it was a day later, I was cleaning up after my grandkids, picking up Hot Wheels cars and such. And I thought to myself, I go, "Oh, I'm going to go get that little Hot Wheel car that, you know, Tom found in the garage." And I picked it up and it was like a lightning bolt hit me. It was car number 12.
Nice. Very nice.
Which, you know, has been brought up a number of times. A couple of, you know, two or three times the mediums have said, "I see a 12. And so now I know what that is.
I love that your husband was snagged by that red car and pulled the thread on it and saw what it was. And it all ties together, showing the big web and how our loved ones snag our attention. So we just have to act on those little something that just catches your attention. Beautiful.
Yeah.
We're almost out of time here, but I love what you did in the book. You decided to have Lee write a letter to you from across the veil, and you took dictation. It's a twist on the automatic writing that we've talked about in this show before, and the letter you wrote is beautiful. I feel that that's a wonderful exercise to encourage anybody who's grieving a loved one to do, because the more you get into it, the more you know that they're helping you with those words. A letter from your loved one who's passed to you after they passed.
Yes. I in fact, I do that. I have him for Christmas. He gives me cards and I write the note. And I just, you just put the pen to paper and let it go. Don't think about it. Right. Just let it go.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So you believe it's possible, as we have 1 minute to go here, to live a happy life even after terrible grief. So one last thought for our listeners about that would be wonderful.
I think it's a choice. You know, I just, you know, choose joy. I look at everything now. I just take in everything around me and I appreciate it and I'm grateful for it. And I just fill my heart with as much love and joy and compassion and for myself and for others.
And for Lee, I love how you do so many things in his honor.
Yeah.
Well, Roseanne, thank you so much for being with us on the show. And I know that others have learned a lot from your journey and can identify with it. So if you have a chance, please check out her book, Believe, A Journey of Loss, Healing, and Hope. And like I say every week, talk to your loved ones and know that they hear you. They are still right here.
Thanks for listening. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
I'm Victoria Moran. Since we launched the Main Street Vegan podcast back in 2012, lots more people have discovered the way that moving in a vegan direction can infuse our lives with vitality, spirituality, and compassion. My guests are experts on every aspect of making this work in your real life and our real world. Join us for Main Street Vegan here on mindbodyspirit.fm.